pastors, disciples, ministry leaders. How many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Text in Church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Text in Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com. For more information and to start your application online. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Praise God. Amen. So appreciate the opportunity to preach from my spiritual father, who likes Nando's and ice cream, and my new spiritual father, Pastor Plummer, who loves coffee. And so we're going to have a great day today. Amen. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Numbers 13, verse 30. 1962, President John F. Kennedy gave one of the greatest speeches in all of history. He just finished a two-day tour of the space facilities across the nation, and he stood up at Rice University in Houston and he made a bold statement, but it wasn't just words. He was inspiring a nation and igniting the future of space travel. Got a quote here, we got a picture of this. He says, "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and to do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because the goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win." And at this point, the US didn't have the technology to go to the moon. They weren't even close. People saying, "It's impossible. This isn't going to happen." But his mentality was far above everybody else's mentality. 7 years later, we've got a photo here. This is the liftoff of Apollo 11. And 4 days later, July 20, 1969, man walked on the moon. The heights that were thought impossible in one generation became possible through a different mentality. So the lesson is this: your greatest advantage in life is not your ability, but your mentality. How you view life, how you view destiny, how you view the kingdom of God. In our text, we're going to see 12 men with the same ability, yet completely different mentalities, and only two enter their destiny because of their mentality. So I want to preach this sermon this morning titled, Choose the Moon. Because I believe things that are impossible for you today become possible when you have a mentality that chooses the moon. When you say, I want all that God has for me as the Joshua generation. Choosing the moon says we believe big and we aim for things far above our environment, our state, our comfort zone, and our atmosphere. Regardless of what you see or you're experiencing this morning, I believe that we can reach the moon spiritually. So let's read Numbers 13, verse 30. The Bible says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they spied out, saying, the land, though which we have gone as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Let's pray. God, help us, Lord, to inspire a nation, this Joshua generation, that we could take the land for you, God. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost be upon us this morning. Mighty name of Jesus. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's look firstly at the barrier. I was pioneering maybe 2 or 3 years into in Auckland, and we got this new building. It was going well. But then we got this funky church next door. Anybody else had a funky church next door when you're pioneering? And so what they did, their Sunday morning worship was rap songs with a very, very loud subwoofer. And it would literally shake our building. So I'm trying to preach and it's a zzzz. So you know what? I'm going to be nice to the funky church next door. So I go speak to Apostle, whatever his name was. I said, my bro, we're on the same team here. I'm trying to use people skills, you know. Can you just turn it down a little bit? Because they can't hear me preach. It's shaking our building. And he said, look, you know how young people are. I said, yeah. Can you just turn it down a little bit? And he says, listen, we're not going to turn it down. And there's nothing you can do about it. And I said, oh, snap, there's something I can do about it. I don't know what, but I'm going to do something. And so I started praying. I said, God, you got to do something. One morning, it's quiet. I was like, are they sick? Or say, what's going on? And then Mr. Apostle walks in and he says, have you seen anybody walking around? I said, no. He goes, we got robbed last night. They stole our sound desk and our subwoofer. And I was like, I said, bro, I'm sorry. I wish there was something I could do about it, but I can't. So we serve a powerful God. I don't know how robbing the funky church fits in your doctrines, but there's no problem that you face that God can't fix. Matthew 19, 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we still believe that today. And the purposes of God's limitless power is not just for cool stories, but it enables us to enter the plans, promises, and purposes of God. In our text, the children of Israel need God's power. There's a big plan for them. Go take the promised land. They've never fought before. They've been slaves in Egypt. They've never had to fight a battle. And God says, I know you have no idea how to fight, yet I'm going to empower you to do this. Church, the plans, promises, and purposes of God are always beyond us. They're bigger than us. I remember when God called me to New Zealand, like right here at this altar, right at that spot. And I'd love to say to you that God called me to New Zealand and I said, yeah, I can do it. God called me and it's a freaky moment. I said, my first words were, I can't. I literally said that out loud. I can't do that because the calling of God is always above us. But God's not calling us in our own strength, thank the Lord. He's calling us in His strength. And when you say, God, I can't do it, God's like, yeah, I know you can't do it. He was not surprised at our lack of ability or lack of strength. He's the one who empowers us. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, That's the God that we serve. Can you say amen? It's not about what we could do in our own power. It's far above what we can ever imagine. Psalm 2 verse 8, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Not ask of me for your street or your suburb or your city. Ask of the nations. We serve a great God and God can still give us the nations. Thursday night and Friday night, we're not sending out couples so they can get a gathering of people. We're going out to change the world for Jesus Christ. Earlier in our text, this is what God is promising. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men out to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. This is the promise. But unfortunately, even though it was God's plan, God's purpose, God's promise, they didn't enter. Now, why is that? God believed they can enter. Their pastor Moses believed they can enter. The enemy believed they can enter. Look what Rahab said in Joshua 2:9. I know the Lord will give you this land. Your presence terrifies us. All the people in the country are deathly afraid of you. So God believes, your pastor believes, the enemy believes. So how come they didn't enter? Their mentality restricted their destiny. Their mentality restricted the unlimited power of God. The barrier was themselves. The tallest giant and the strongest wall was their mindset. You know, most of life, our issue isn't God, our leaders, big giants, big walls. It's us. It's what we believe is possible. It's our faith. Remember, the biggest advantage you have in life is not your ability, it's your mentality. Sir Edmund Hillary, he climbed Mount Everest first, and he's a Kiwi. We got there first. That's right. And he said, it is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. We serve a big God. God's not intimidated by giants, but if we're honest, we are. So three reasons there's a barrier of God's power. Number one, there's a passive, because we have a passive mind. 10 spies were very passive. They saw obstacles, refused to fight, saw Steve Lassie coming up. Don't want to change over to this? No worries. 1, 2, is that on?
There we go.
Yeah, just watch as I get changed here. Thanks, guys. That's fantastic. I'll chuck that in here. All right. So their mentality was very passive. They saw giants, they saw walls, and they said, no, it's too hard. Being passive means accepting what happens without an active response or resistance. Listen, Christianity is aggressive. We are part of an aggressive fellowship. The Bible says the violent take it by force. It is not something that we'll see what happens, we'll give it a go. No, we want everything that God has for us. JFK's declaration to the moon wasn't passive. He said, we choose the moon, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. That is not passive. And every disciple here, every Joshua generation, we need a mentality that regardless of how hard it is, we're going to get the job done. Have you seen, you know, we're seeing people that we haven't seen in a long time and you shake hands. Have you ever shaken a hand with someone and it's got like a dead fish? Somehow they suck the strength out of me. You shake the, and you're like, what are you doing? Shake my hand properly. It's just, it's disgusting. It's annoying. And I wonder how God feels when we get the promises of God and we just give this limp-wristed, you know, here, we'll see what, we'll give it a go. I didn't go to New Zealand to give it a go. We're going to New Zealand because we're going to build the kingdom of God. We're going to press on. So firstly, there's a passive mentality when we don't enter, so we don't receive the power of God. Secondly, it's a pessimistic mentality. Verse 27, they told him and said, we went to the land which you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, you know, pessimistic people have always, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, they're strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, the descendants of Anak were there. And then they go into details about the enemy. This tribe was down near the ocean. This tribe was out in the mountains. This tribe's out. They go into all these details because some people, they're blind to the possibilities of God, but they have 20/20 vision for their problems. They can see every problem. Pastor Walsh says they could suck the joy out of the marriage supper of the Lamb. They are always fixing things on a negative mentality. Listen, pessimistic men always have an excuse. There's always an excuse. If you're a disciple of Pastor Elliot, you'll know his favorite word is, and? You'll come up with your excuse and you'll say, and? because he doesn't accept excuses, nor should he, nor should we. There's always a giant. There's always going to be a wall. It's always going to be difficult. Benjamin Franklin said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." They don't choose the moon. They choose a hill. We can make excuses too. We've got a hard area. One I hear recently, our people don't respond like your people. Because the demons are bigger in our city than your city. Our sinners are tougher than your sinners. Our building prices are too expensive, so we have to get small buildings. We're talking about omnipotent God, and we're talking about building prices? Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense to me. I can't go full time. The disciples aren't getting it. You know, we mock the 10 spies, don't we? Look at them. God promised the land, it's a promised land, and you still didn't enter. Then we do the exact same thing. Make excuses. You know, I can't send the church out. You know, they're not ready. Like any of us were ready. I had one of my pioneers recently asked me, "Pastor, can I get your sermons from your early days?" I said, "No, not a chance, because they were horrible." We're not ready. A pessimistic man always has an excuse. Once before we sent our first church, Pastor Elliot was asking me when we're going to send a church, and I started my excuses. And he said, "Dan, the devil will always give you an excuse not to send a church." So we sent a church. Third reason we don't enter the promised land is because of our powerless mindset. And there's people here, you genuinely believe that you can't do it. In fact, there's some people you've said those words, "I can't do it." You feel powerless in your ministry, that you feel like you don't have what it takes. You feel you don't have the skill, the smarts, the strength. So you stall, become stagnant, and settle for less than what God has for you. I understand that feeling. There was one time, if you've been tormented by hell, you can't explain it properly to other people. If you've been tormented in your mind, there was one point in my ministry, I was so tormented in my mind a number of years ago, and I was just feeling like if I stay here in Auckland, I'm actually doing the people a disservice, that I'm actually hurting their ministry. And I believe that with all my heart, that I'm not him. I can't lead these people. And so I called Pastor Elliot. I said, "Pastor, this is what I'm feeling. And it's very heavy." And he said, "Dan, do you realize that we're in a battle? Do you realize you have an enemy?" And I'm telling you, just at that moment, it was completely delivered. It was set free. Because when we have spiritual fathers, they give you strength. And so there's people here at conference this morning, you feel like you don't have what it takes. Let me help you. You are God's man for the job. You are God's couple for the job. God has called you. I believe in you. Our fellowship believes in you. And more so, God believes in you. God called you to this. And you can do it. So God is a big God with great plans, but our mentality is the barrier. So let's look secondly then at the bridge. We need to build a bridge from where we are now to where we need to be in our destiny. It's a book called Power to Change by Craig Rochelle. And there's a chapter in there titled Trying versus Training. He says, many people try, not many people train. And what it means is trying is doing your best in the moment. Training is doing your best before the moment. For example, if you're going to lift some weights, if you've never lifted weights before, you can try 100%. You're not carrying it. But if you train, you'll be able to do things that were previously impossible. So here are some areas that we can train our mind in our lives so we can enter the promised land. Number one is personal development. When JFK made that speech, America didn't have the technology to get to the moon. In fact, other nations were far more advanced than them. So they started training. They started developing and inventing the technology required. They increased the space budget 3 times more than the previous year. It was larger than the previous 8 years combined. And that year, it was equivalent. They spent $55 billion on space travel in 1963. They developed the Saturn V rocket, one of the most powerful rockets of its time, to launch the rocket. Rockets today still reference that technology. They developed technology in order to do things they previously couldn't do. So the lesson is, you can develop your ministry in order to do things you previously couldn't do. Clearly, the 10 spies in our text hadn't personally developed to be the people God called them to be. They were still followers. They hadn't developed their leadership. You know, I used to think growth was automatic. Any other pioneer think that? Just go out and I'll just get better. It's not really the case. I found that out the hard way.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. we are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
You need to be intentional about your growth. 1 Timothy 5:14, 4:15. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. James Allen, not our James Allen, but could be our James Allen, said people are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. And that's why they remain bound. In January 2020, I was annoyed. Any other pastor being annoyed that you're just not where you need to be in your church, in your ministry? And I'm annoyed. I'm sitting in my office. I'm just annoyed. Our church is around 50 people, and it'd grow to 60, 70, 80, and then it'll drop down to 50. Then it'll get to 60, 70, 80, and it'll drop down to 50 again. And here I am getting annoyed with God. I'm like, God, why is this happening? And God dealt with me is because my leadership can only handle this much. And so you could be asking for more, but that's all you're able to handle. So that year I became extremely intentional about growth, reading books, one book that changed my life, What Got You Here, Won't Get You There, Extreme Ownership, asking questions of my pastor. I challenged myself to grow. That was 2020, the year of COVID. We went into lockdown in March for numbers of months. That year, our church grew by 50 people, and we sent out our first church. I was the problem. I was the lid. I was the capacity. We can easily blame the people. They're not getting it, the place, the location, but it's not. Many times, it's the leader. Like, think about it. If we've got this bottle here, this bottle could handle 350 milliliters. If you say, God, give me 400, what's going to happen? It's just going to spill out. And so we say, God, fill me up more and more, but we're at capacity. And there's a big difference between a 20-man leader and a 200-man leader. As you speak to your leaders, you realize how far advanced they are of us. And so I plan myself and push myself so I can grow. Let me speak to every disciple and leader here. You are the lid. You are the cup. The more that you increase and you grow in your leadership, then other people can follow behind you. Every new stage of your life requires a new version of you. When you first got saved, that was one version. When you became a disciple, that's another version. Then getting married and children, then pioneering, then 20, then 30, then 50, part-time, full-time, 80, 100, sending out churches. You must keep developing so you have a new version of you. We don't want the pioneering stage when you're launching out churches. We need to continue to develop. What got you to this stage of a ministry won't get you to the next stage of your ministry. So how do we self-develop? Number one is realization. You need to realize that you must grow. That's the first key. Most of us, we can see the speck in everybody, but the Plankosaurus rex here, we can't see nothing of ourselves. Romans 12:2, let God transform you into a new person by the renewing of your mind, changing the way that you think, and then you will know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's a continual change in your mind, continual growth. Number two, reference. Reference great leaders. Reference men that are far beyond you. Don't just reference your brothers. Oh, at least I'm doing brothers. It's better than brother so-and-so, so you feel better about ourselves. Have a conversation with Pastor Walsh or Pastor Plummer or Pastor Elliot and realize how much further we need to grow and how much further we need to get to. They're not lucky. They're consistently developing themselves. And then resolve to work hard. Give yourself to this. It is not automatic. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a pastor, and we're talking about growth. And I said, how many books are you reading per month? And he goes, I've challenged myself to read one. So that's cute. I go, the women in my church read one book a month. I felt that. Some of you, I only read one. So you know, choose the moon. One book a month is not going to cut it. We need to be giving ourselves intentionally and consistently to growth, and that will develop you. Second area that we can grow in is people skills. The 10 spies had zero people skills. They came back, we can't do it, it's too hard. And the Bible says that people got depressed, they start crying, they want to backslide. Listen, that's not a good Sunday morning. We don't want you on our follow-up team. We don't want you praying with people at the altar. There needs to be something else about your life. Listen, we're in the people business. It's not just about singing some songs, taking an offering, preaching a sermon, doing an altar call, and then going home. That's not just a church service. It's all about people and how you relate with people. Maxwell said 87% of success is through people skills development. That's quite interesting. Because we're so focused on, I've got to do this better and that better. But most of success, he is saying, is how you connect and relate with other people. It's not just being better. And most people that come to church are different to you. 100% of my church is different to me. There's not one church kid from Australia there. So I had to learn to relate. John Maxwell also said, people buy into the leader before they buy into the vision. So our people just aren't catching it. Well, maybe they need to buy into us first, and then they'll catch the vision. You know, we can make that excuse and say, oh, people just don't want it. They're not hungry for God here. It's like if you open a restaurant and your food's not good, you can't say, man, just people aren't hungry around here. It's not true. Everybody's hungry. But you have certain restaurants that you go to because you know we're going to receive. And as you grow and as we develop, people will come back to our church. They're going to see our growth. Let me try and explain this through the piano. People skills is like a piano. If I could give you a quick piano lesson here this morning. So piano is like a key. There's 7 notes in each key. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. All right. And so most of the time, we just focus on people like us that like that key. It's nice. It's beautiful, right? But people come into church and they're not in that key. They're like this. You know those people, they come and they're just, you got a beautiful service, it's great. And then they just, and you're like, go away, what are you doing here? But there's a genre of music called gospel music. And it's funny, it's called gospel. And gospel music uses all the notes. Instead of using 7, it uses 12. So if I play What a Beautiful Name, if I use the gospel version using these notes, it could still sound good. Sounds a bit better, doesn't it? So my question is, what type of church do you want? Do you want where everybody's the same? Or do we want a gospel church where everybody comes and feels welcomed and feels loved and every person of every background can reach their destiny in Jesus Christ? Listen, we're having a Jesus people movement with Islanders at the moment. And you're having it here in Australia as well. Islanders are getting saved left, right, and center. But let me help you out. Something about Islanders, they can smell awkwardness from the car park. And us Aussies, you could sit in silence and be happy. You can listen to special music and say, this is the best special music I've ever heard, and your face can be. Show no emotion. That doesn't work with Islanders. And if we're not connecting with them, listen, church, we can miss what God's bringing towards us. Pastor Mitchell, he connected with these hippies. They're totally different. Let us not make the same mistake. I feel from the power of God that Islanders are coming in and they're going to change the world for Jesus Christ. They have it in their nature and we can reach them. Yes, amen. Pastor Elliot speaks about how you give announcements. He speaks about being exciting. It's not supposed to be a snooze fest. Some people need to repent from the spirit of boringness. That needs to change. So how do we grow in people skills? Number one, read some books, plenty of books out there. Number two, ask questions before you act. And number three, ask God to give you a deeper love for people. And you'll see them in their state, not just in your state. The final way to bridge the gap is through perspective. The 10 spies had the wrong perspective. Verse 33, and we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You know, many people here, you might believe that you're a grasshopper in the sight of your enemies. And so you don't attempt great things. I ask young men all the time, where do you want to go pioneer? I said, no, I don't know. Why not? What are you going to do with your, where is God calling you? I've really thought about it. It's because your perspective isn't the moon. Your perspective is just today. So perspective gives you passion and power. Verse 30, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses. You know, some people in life, you need to tell them to be quiet. Say, no, I'm not listening to you anymore. We're not just going to be a church of this size forever. We're going to grow and we're going to change. It says, let us go up at once take possession. We're well able to overcome it. Able means to prevail, to overcome, and to have power. That's what we need. In your city, we are well able to overcome in this city. God can give us victory. Joshua 6:2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. That was while the walls were still standing. Saying, Joshua, you need to see victory in your city while the walls are still there. You need to view your city that this is God's city. This is my city. When I went to New Zealand, Pastor Elliot had very clear instructions. Dan, when you go, you need to understand and believe that the Spirit of God is there, the kingdom of heaven is there because you're there. And I believe that with all my heart. And you need to believe that too, disciple. The kingdom of heaven is here because I'm here in this city. We are not the minority. We are the majority because God is with us. This is God's city, and we will take dominion in this city. I love what William Booth said. I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. Oh, wouldn't it be good if every Joshua generation man here said, I am a move of God. Not in pride, but knowing that God is going to move on my behalf. Weren't you stirred yesterday when Pastor Greg speaking about that older couple that they're going overseas again? Didn't it just stir your soul that let's do this? This is our life. Have a perspective that we have one life and we need to give our all to Jesus. Don't be small-minded. Don't just continue. We're just going to have a small outreach and a small event and just be satisfied with your small outcomes. Choose the moon. Perspective also unlocks prosperity and potential. Two spies entered their potential, the 10 didn't. And those with a kingdom mindset have a kingdom prosperity. Matthew 9:29, he touched their eyes saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. So how do you improve your perspective? Number one, get the goals that you have and times them by 10. Yeah, I said that. Times them by 10. It's a good book called The 10X Rule. And he speaks about timesing by 10 your expectations. And when you times your expectations by 10, you times 10 your thinking, your perspective, and your work ethic. Last year, we had about 1,000 souls saved, just over 1,000 souls saved, new converts saved last year. And I was like, okay, so how do we 10X that? So I decided, you know what, church, in February, we're going to believe God for 1,000 souls to be saved in February. Now, I know some of you think, don't, stop it. 1,000 in 1 month? Well, look, even if they didn't get 1,000, what if they got 500? That's pretty good. Yeah. I'd be satisfied with 500 in a month. But I had to reach my goals much higher. There's another book called 10X is easier than 2X. Because when some of you want to, I'll just get a little bit more better, you don't really change much. If it was, again, I understand each one reach one, I get it, and that's good. But how about each one reach 100? Because if each one reach one, what do you need to change? Nothing. But when you need 1,000 souls saved in 1 month, you need to change everything. Yeah. Every night is a night for souls. The second way to grow in your perspective is your relationship. Number one, your relationship with headship. Joshua and Caleb had a great relationship with Pastor Moses. And I could say Pastor Elliot and Pastor Plummer are constantly enlarging my perspective. At the healing rally, Pastor Elliot said, one day we're going to have thousands of people at these healing rallies. That's a perspective. Then also, you grow into perspective with your friends. Joshua and Caleb are mentioned over and over again. Joshua and Caleb. No doubt they stirred their faith together. You know, in my life, I've had great friends that have stirred my faith. The year I got sent out, Pastor Sean Reeves, Pastor Tony Wang, we got sent out at the same time. And they've been blessings to me, Pastor Darren Munzone, my leaders, Pastor Plummer, Pastor Elliot, Pastor Walsh. They enlarge my vision. And when I think I'm thinking big, I speak with them and I realize how much greater I need to be realizing and thinking. So let's close with the breakthrough. You know, when people ask to do special music in church, and I used to always say yes. Now I need to check. I didn't check before. You ever said yes to someone doing special music? And it's like, I should have checked this. Just, you know, praise the Lord. You know, stack chairs. You know what I mean? This is not for you. So I've got it. I think we've got an audio here. Do we have that audio there? We can play this. It's not. Yeah, look, so we don't want people like that on special music, right? And I know, who said this? Someone said, is that Tony Huang? No, it's not. Stop it. Don't say that. I am insulted by that comment. Do you know who? That was Ed Sheeran at 14 years old. Yeah, singing out of key, horrible. We say, give up on this guy. Listen, this is not your ministry, bro. Give it up. 4 years later, he wrote 18, and in 2023, he's the most played artist in the UK. 4 years' time, he went from sounding horrible to being great. Listen, it doesn't matter how far behind you are today, you can be great in the kingdom. God can turn things around for you very quickly. So some things happen when you choose the moon. Number one, there is supernatural favor. God opens doors. Caleb said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. And that's what God did. Joshua 21:45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. It all came to pass. God did a miracle. Everything that God has prepared for you, my brother, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Things, God has put visions and dreams in your heart, and that's going to come to pass when you give yourself to these things. You know, in 2019, we did a suicide prevention drama, and it was okay. We just wanted to do something. I felt stirred to help people. It's a big problem in New Zealand. Did a drama, it was okay. We did it again in the next couple of years. So, filled our building, so I said, where else could we do it? We hired a 800-seat theater, a Vodafone Event Center, and that night we sold it out, and we had 164 saved that night. And I mean, numbers of them are still in the church today. So we're thinking, where else can we do it? What's a bigger facility? In this city, there's a place called Spark Arena. Spark Arena has 12,000 seats. We choose the moon. So me, Pastor Chris, Pastor Chaz, we go and we check out the building, and there's, you know, Whitney Houston and everybody else there. I was like, yeah, we could have a picture of me and Chris up there. Yeah, why not? This is our city, boy. And the lady was open to us having it. Then she just ghosted us and just we couldn't get it. I'm not sure what happened there. So I was a bit frustrated, but I'm like, where can we do it? I don't know any theaters in Auckland that we can do it. And then someone says, did you check next door? I'm like, next door? They said, yeah, there's the Logan Campbell built a theater next door. I had no idea it was next door to our church. So we went, it's a 3,000 seat theater. We went and met the lady. Then the owner comes out. He's this Palangi guy who doesn't care about anything. Tell you what he cares about, one thing. He cares about suicide prevention. And we told him what we're doing. And without asking, he gave us the building and he gave us 75% off the price without us asking nothing. Because when you choose the moon, God opens up doors that were previously shut before. It was right there in front of my eyes, but because my perspective wasn't the moon, I didn't see what God had before. Listen, my brother, doors that are closed now, they can be opened when you choose the moon. And then secondly and finally, there are significant results. America was first to the moon and they sent men up there and they came back and they got the results that they desired. We just recently did the Will They Remember Me drama in Hurstville, and Pastor Manzone called me or spoke to me before we went there, and he said, Dan, our building could maybe handle like 200, maybe 250 if everyone squeezes in there, but they're Islanders, so maybe like 130. And and so he said, but there's another theater. There's an 800-seat theater. He goes, what do you think? I said, Pastor, you preach the sermon, believe big. Let's believe big for it. And so he got that building. I think there was like 650, something like that. Tickets sold, and I got a picture here of what happened that night. We got a picture of those at the altar. Wow. We had 140 saved that night. This night was supernatural. Like, people just kept flooding to the altar. It felt like we were at a crusade. They just kept coming down the aisles. They just kept coming. And we sang, oh, come to the altar 47,000 times. They just kept coming. It was just a supernatural night. Why? Because Pastor Manzone chose the moon. If he said, oh, we'll just do it small in our own little building and we'll just do what we can, that wouldn't have happened. Remember I told you about the, thank you for that. Remember I told you about the 1,000 soul challenge? That came from Pastor Elliot preaching a masterpiece sermon on the second mile. So that's our theme this year. And each month we're focusing on one area. In February, we decided we're going to choose evangelism. We're going to go the second mile on evangelism. And I challenged the church for 1,000 souls. This was all done just through our one-on-one outreaching. We only had one major outreach, and that was a tag tournament. We did a tag tournament, and I got a video here of that tag tournament, the altar. We had 710 visitors, and we had 322 saved. Like, I was in tears watching this. Like, doesn't it look like it's a movie? The things that we dreamed about, the things we prayed for, they're happening now. And it was our outreach director's first altar call. Because God gives supernatural help. And I know there's always those people, yeah, but you have a big event. How many came back? 103 came back. On Sunday night, we had 348 people. Because God can give you power. God can give you supernatural help. So the next one, you can play that calendar. So we started recording every day how many people got saved. I got this from our Pioneer Church. So the guys just went out every day after work. We just went to the park. This is no planned outreaches except for one. All of them were just going out outreaching. Remember I said 1,000 by the whole end of the month? Yeah, great. By the 15th, we hit 1,000. So I said, 1,000's the first mile, 2,000's the second mile. We had 2,021 people saved last month. Praise God, eh? Praise God. So this is not just, oh, it's just Auckland, or this can happen anywhere because we serve the same God. So I'm encouraging you, church. We are the Joshua generation. We're going to take the world for Jesus Christ. Let's choose the moon, amen. Let's give God praise as Pastor Lassie comes.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. Pastor, man of God, your wife left everything to follow you in your dream. Are you going to leave her with nothing? The Bible says he who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an unbeliever and has denied the faith. As men of God, we're ready to stand before God due to tragedy at any moment's notice. But what about our families? What happens to them if we were to die? There's an easy financial solution so that they don't have to go through poverty or destitution. Call me today, 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.